Father, we thank you for letting us be in a country where we can worship you freely. I thank you for a church where the truth is spoken and taught. I thank you for a church family that's full of believers that really love Jesus. I thank you for everyone here who is sincere and all those that are coming to seek you, Father. And I pray that you lead us to help them in some way to allow you to speak through us and to reach their heart and have them become sincere Christians. We thank you and we praise you and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not going to pretend to be a slick speaker, so I'm going to keep my notes handy. So y'all bear with me. Like you said, it's been a few months. I know that Pastor meant good when he asked me to do this. He usually does. But I know what it really means. It means that I need this word too. So in seeking God's word for you guys tonight, knowing that you guys are knowledgeable, knowing that y'all love Jesus and you're pretty well educated, it's a challenge to find something that reaches deeper than what we do on a daily basis. Not what Pastor does, I'm not comparing to that. I'm just saying a little deeper than what we do on a daily basis. Everybody gets wrapped up in the world. They get wrapped up in, you know, finances and kids and football and, you know, everything's got its pros and its cons, right? But it all kind of distracts us sometimes. So tonight I'm trying to do some basics. Pastor can preach on all the confusing things and make it sound easy, and that's good. I'm going to teach on the simple things and try not to make it be confusing. So first off, is there anybody in here that loves Jesus? Right? Then let's give him the glory for that. I want to talk tonight about why we should love Jesus, who God is and who we are in Christ, and what we're doing to move forward. So the title of this is, What is a Christian? Let's, if y'all do me a favor, I really need y'all to overlook my ineptness with what I'm trying to do here. But I want y'all to do me a favor and open your hearts, kind of clear your mind, and clear all that stuff we talked about. Just kind of clear that away for a minute. Let the Lord sink into your spirit. Let the Lord speak this word to your spirit, not me. Ignore me. But let's glean what God has for you out of this message, and I'll do the same on my end. You know, there's millions of people in the world that think they're Christians. They're in churches all over the world, and they think that they're Christians. The problem is we know the four different types of soil. Okay, so there's only one. So that's about 25%. You know, that's one out of the four where the seed fell on good ground and took and rooted and did what? It brought forth fruit. That's a Christian. So what is a Christian? It's not just a believer, but it's a doer. And that's what the word says, is don't just be a believer, but be a doer of the word. So even in here, maybe not tonight, but in this church, I guarantee there's people that have questions. And they question whether or not, am I really saved? Am I really a Christian? I just messed up on the way here. Am I still saved? Am I really a Christian? So we want to talk about those simple answers, because those are hard questions. And I've probably got four or five I feel like are just good, basic, honest questions that when we ask other people or when we ask pastors, or not our pastors, but when we ask other people that should know, we kind of get this answer of, well, if you're thinking that way, you're probably saved. That's not very comforting to me. Let's go a little deeper, because you just said probably. And I'm worried about this, you know. And when you've been walking with the Lord a long time, chance that you start to lean on your own understanding, that you tend to lean on what you know and what you understand. And when you read the Bible, you, man, I've read that 100 times. Let's move on. Well, why did God open you to that page? Why did God put you there? Why don't you stay and learn something rather than being egotistical and moving on and saying, man, I've heard that 100 times. I know you guys aren't egotistical. I'm speaking about myself, because sometimes I get complacent when I read the Bible. And I'm like, man, maybe that's not what he had for me, and I move on. We're going to talk about some very basic things tonight that you guys have probably heard over and over again, but I would like to dig a little deeper and maybe bring some understanding to all of us. So the first question is, how do I become saved? Romans 10:9, it says that if thou wilt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I like the King James. So confess with your mouth that he's Lord and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead and you're saved. Sounds pretty simple. Well, the gospel is simple. God didn't make it difficult. Even Peter said, watch out. Some people read Paul's word. Some people read the word and they get confused to their detriment. It's pretty simple. The Holy Spirit will lead you through the Bible if you will open your heart and let him do that. All right. So when he says, just say these words, just believe in your heart, just, you know, confess with your mouth. It's a whole lot more than, like Pastor says, it's a lot more than just a mental assent, as in, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, I believe Jesus did that. You know, that's good. I'm saved. And they just go out and they live like the world. That's millions and millions and millions of people all over the world that feel like, because they acknowledge Jesus or they sit in a pew or they tithe, that they're saved and they're going to heaven. There is a little more to that. It has to become a part of you. It has to sink in and be a part of who you are. It can't just be, yeah, I believe that. Let's just get what's good for me. No, there's something for God in that too. So let's look at all of this. John 14:6 said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if you back up a little bit, in John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draws him. So those people that are doubting whether they're saved or not, whether they're on the right track, if you're here tonight, you're on the right track. If you're here tonight, you've been drawn. The Holy Spirit brings you here. You don't do it on your own. You're not going to wake up one day and say, I want Jesus, I want Jesus. Being a Christian's not appealing. You know, a lot of people say, and a lot of preachers are doing that now too, and they'll say, hell is separation from God. They're separated from God now. You think they care? They don't care. They're off doing what they're doing. They're separated from God. That's not torture. No, Jesus preached on hell more than he did on heaven, and I'm going to tell you, hell is a place that, and I say this, and I don't know if I'd follow up on it, but if someone did something extremely egregious to me, I might want to say, you know, hurt my family or did something. I might want to say, let them go to hell 100 years, you know, 1,000 years, but not forever and ever and ever. I mean, it's not like you have a bad week and then your mom comes to get you out and gives you some water and tatas you and then puts you back in there. It's not like that. The devil's going to be screaming in darkness forever. His angels are going to be screaming. And if you go there, you're just going to be screaming forever and ever. There's nothing darker and lonelier. There's no good in hell. There's no Holy Spirit. There's no light. There's nothing good there at all. And even the worst of us appreciate goodness, or at least love their mama. God tells us, Jesus put a little child on his knee and said, unless you become like this child, you can't come into the kingdom of heaven. And what he meant by that was, when we say that we believe, it has to be a part of you, so much so that we believe as a child, that we say, hey, if God said it, then it's done, right? So when we're here and we're laying hands on people, you know, if you have to talk for a minute, if you have to pray for a minute, if you have to say, you know, by the stripes of Jesus, you're healed, be healed and go through it, that's awesome. But it's already done. If God said it, it's done. It helps that other person when you go in depth and you fire them up and you bring in that faith and you can get them to the point to where they're like, you know what, that does feel better. I had my elbow healed right here. I think Shane was one that prayed on me too. I had several of them. I know you did as well. And it had been bothering me for 6 months, I know, you know, just tennis elbow, whatever they call it. And Pastor said, somebody's got an elbow that's bothering them. I looked at my wife and I was like, did you tell them? And she's like, no. And I was like, well, I'm not going up. And she's like, why? I said, because if it doesn't feel better, what am I going to do? No. She said, exactly. Get up there. So I came up and 3 or 4 people prayed for me. And Pastor said, does it feel better? And I was like, well, you know, a little. And it did. It did feel a little bit better. And I said, well, a little. He said, well, get back in there. So they prayed for me again. He goes, how about now? I said, it's actually a little better. It's, quite a bit better. Get back in there. You know, and then really and truly, I just turned loose. I just let go of pride. I let go of that. Everybody's watching. Everybody's waiting for that outcome. And God healed me right there. And it hadn't bothered me again since. And that's been years. And that's one testimony of a little thing. I think it's a big thing. It's a miracle. So I shouldn't say that. I'm sorry, Lord. But he's done that a lot for me. There's been an awful lot that he's done for me. You know, he's gotten me through many, many years of dangerous activity. Let's put it that way. But even beyond that faith of a child, we need to build a foundation on which the relationship with Jesus can flourish. Can you just stop? Do you just get saved and stop? God doesn't. God doesn't save you and then take you to heaven. You know, you're here for a purpose. So we can't just get saved and be like, well, that's good. I'm just gonna go do what I do and I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. That's what the Gentiles do. They take advantage of the hope that it gives them, even though it's false. So there's millions of people out there that think they're Christians and they're not. But if you're here tonight, you're drawn. You're on the right path. If you're not completely saved, let's finish this up and it's going to give you some insight. I was on my way to work one morning, and I was asking God some questions, just questions about my life, you know, things that were going on. And right in the middle of, I don't know, the first or 15th one, whatever it was, he said, read my word. And I was like, yeah, but it doesn't tell me, you know, to take the dog to the vet, you know, or whatever it was. I don't know what it was. But he said, read my word. I was like, yeah, but this one is, he said, read my word. Everything you need, all the answers that you need for your life, for godliness, to live your life, is in my word. Read my word. And when I thought about it for a few seconds after that, I hadn't been in the word like I had been before. You know, I was skimming through it. I was reading a few things, and every now and then I'd get a revelation and think, well, I must be doing something good. I got a revelation. But you should get a revelation pretty much every time you read it. So anyway, that really stuck with me. He said, read my word, read my word, read my word. You know, the other part of this where it says confess, you know, confess that Jesus is Lord and Savior. Everybody wants Jesus as a Savior, even me. We all want Jesus. You saved me. You gave me everlasting life. You gave me eternal life. I get to go to heaven. I get to see God. I get to see loved ones. I get to see Jesus. You know, get all these things because I'm saved. But God says he's Lord. Well, what does that mean? That means he runs your life. Well, the word says that you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price. In the natural, we don't like that. I don't want to give up my freedom of choice to anybody. But let me challenge you with this. If you're a man here tonight, think of yourself as a warrior, okay? You have a sword, you're a warrior, but your allegiance is to God. You leave that sword where it is, and when he tells you to pull it out and fight, you pull it out and fight. And you pull it out the way he says pull it out and do what he says to do. So you're a warrior, you're not a wimp. What did we say the other day? Meekness, be meek, which is power under control. Under whose control? Not mine. I don't control it just because I don't want to get in trouble. God has to be in charge. His son, Jesus Christ, died for you. He owns you in a way. But what happens? Does he say, okay, well, I bought you with a price. Now you're mine. Are we slaves? No. We're not really even servants. What does God say we are after we become saved? Friends and children of the living God. Right? Children of the living God, the God that created everything. Beyond the universe is God. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's God. I don't know what he is. It says that we're made in his image and he's a spirit, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what he is. He came from forever and he goes to forever. Right? That's kind of strange. But we get to do that with him. And see, that's the thing is, just heaven should be enough. Just forever should be enough, because if you live to be 1,000 years, I mean, I don't have anything small, but if you live to be 1,000 years, your life wouldn't be a speck on the ruler of eternity, right? I mean, it just goes forever and ever. He says, give me this and I'll give you this. I mean, that's a pretty good trade, you know, and it's really not that simple, you know, as being a trade. Jesus went through an awful lot. Jesus is God that died for us and then raised from the dead for us. And we were raised with him, and we have the ability to overcome, because he already did. All right, so believe in and trust in the work Jesus did on the cross. The word says, for by grace you are saved through faith. Whose faith? Your faith. Everybody's been given a measure of faith. Well, what do you do with that? Well, the first thing you do is you use it to get saved. So when you're drawn and you're called, you have to recognize that I'm not surrendering to just anybody. I'm turning this over. I'm turning control of this over to God Almighty, creator of all. There's none greater. There's none even close. You know, so it's easier to say, look, you know, hey, you take over. You know a little bit more than I do. You know a little bit more about me than I do. So I want you in charge. I don't want me in charge. So by grace, you've been saved through faith. So that faith is something that we use to get started. But then what do we do with it after that? We got to grow it. Well, unfortunately, the way to grow things is to struggle. And God is going to allow some struggle in your life. God is going to allow some things to come against you that's going to make you stronger. It's going to make you a better father. It's going to make you a better mother. It's going to make you a better son, daughter, brother, friend, and especially a better Christian. Yep. And a better witness. That's right. The more you go through and overcome, your faith grows stronger, and you have more reasons to be meek because there's more power flowing through you. So now you're saved. You're made new. New creation in Christ Jesus. The new has come and the old has passed away. There's no condemnation in Christ. Well, that's a big one too. That stops a lot of people from moving forward. There's no condemnation in Christ. Well, look, once you're saved, once you go through this process and you really accept Jesus in your heart as Lord and Savior, God doesn't care what you did before. He didn't care where you've been. He doesn't care the mistakes you made. There's no dirt on you. And you can't let other people condemn you for that either. You can't let other people go in your past and bring up that person, because you're not that person anymore. But what's the biggest problem that we have? We do it. We do it. We're ashamed. We're embarrassed. We don't think we're worthy. Well, I got news for you. We're not. He's holy. We're not. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? But he will use you like tonight. I'm not, you know, I'm nothing special. But I wanted his word in me so that I could give it to you because it benefits me as well. Anything that you speak out of your mouth that comes from God blesses and fills you even more so than the people that are receiving it over there. That's true. When you confess it, there you go. Read the Bible. The word will come alive in your heart, and you'll begin to cultivate a relationship with Jesus and begin to receive revelations such as your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price, which is very difficult for people to accept. But it's comforting, right? It's comforting to know that, you know what? I don't have to make a whole lot of decisions. He's given me this job. He's given me this surrounding of people that I have, whether it's a support system or our enemies. He's given that to you, and you have to dwell within that, but he's going to guide you through it. You know, like me coming up here tonight and wondering, you know, am I going to stumble all over the place? I probably will. Y'all bear with me. But he's going to get me through it. He's going to get you guys through it too, so just suffer through for a little bit. All right, the second question that a lot of people ask and a lot of people struggle with, what are the benefits to being a Christian? There's power in the name of Jesus, and as a Christian, we're afforded the right to use it. When you're saved, you now become a child of the living God. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. And again, it sounds simple, but that belief is it becomes a part of you. So now we have the authority to use Jesus' name, not in vain, but there's power in it. So we use it not only as a weapon, but also to heal, also to help, also to comfort, right? Also to guide and to lead. So we can use Jesus' name and claim the things that he paid for on the cross. We're washed clean of all the sins, and the Holy Spirit comes to live in us, freeing us from any grip of sin. You know, a lot of people say, you know, well, now that I'm saved, I'm not going to sin. Sure you won't. You're going to struggle because the old natural man is still there. And what happens is a lot of people, they struggle with that old sin, and it condemns them, and they condemn themselves. And God says, what does God say? He said, confess your sin, ask forgiveness, and I'll be faithful to forgive you. Get up and dust yourself off and just keep going, because guess what? The guy next to you, he's doing the same thing. He may look like he's got it all together. He may be great. He may not struggle with the sin that you struggle with, but he's struggling with something. You know, even fear is a sin. Why are you going to be afraid when God says, I created everything? I'm omnipotent. What are you afraid of? I told you I loved you. I proved that I love you, and I'm with you. What are you afraid of? What's going to happen? I'm God. What's the worst could happen? You could die and go to heaven. You know, we're not ready right now. You know, I mean, we're not in a hurry. I know you're ready. But we're not in a hurry. We're promised everlasting life with the Father in heaven. We have access to the Father. In Hebrews 4:16, we read, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's here. That's not necessarily in heaven. You don't have a need in heaven. All your needs are met. So here on earth, if you have a relationship with the Father, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if the Holy Spirit dwells within you, you don't have to run to your husband. You don't have to run to your wife. You don't have to run to your friends and get agreement. Take it to God and let God handle it. And God's going to do a lot more with it than if you get your blessing from just spilling the beans on somebody over here. Love them, forgive them, give it to God. You're going to get a lot more out of it by doing that. Come boldly before the throne. That means you don't have that condemnation. You don't have that self-loathing. You have the idea that I'm a child of the living God, and he loves me so much that he died for me. He died and shed his blood. You know, that there's a saying that says when Jesus was on the cross, he had you in mind. He did. He said, I knew you before you were in the womb. Healing is provided. You know, a lot of people, you know, I'm not going to say the denomination, but there's a denomination out there that says, you know, tongues, healing, miracles, all that was for back then. That was just for the apostles, and it was just back then. Then why would he put it in there? Why would he put it in the New Testament? Just to tease us? No, he's not like that. So if you're not sure, let's look at this. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Several translations of this. There are several translations of Bibles, but every one of them agree that this is past tense. So it's already done. By his stripes, you were healed. And by the way, those stripes weren't a whipping. You know, that was a cat of nine tails that just tore his skin all the way down to the bone. You know, I mean, he was unrecognizable, basically. And he had to die for us because that was pretty much what he was sent to earth for. But he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that. But what did he pay for with that? Deliverance, right? Delivered from anything. If you can name it, you're delivered from it. If it's contrary to the word of God or the will of God, you have been delivered. You can live a perfectly holy life. But if you don't, there's an advocate with the Father. That's Jesus Christ. And if we're faithful to confess our sin and ask for forgiveness, he'll be faithful to forgive us. Dust yourself off and move on. Take it seriously. Don't be frivolous and just say, oh, well, I messed up again. Let's keep going. No, take it to God sincerely with all your heart and be repentant, right? Without repentance, you're in trouble. Let's look at Matthew 15:30. I like this one. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. And he healed them. He didn't say, hey, Timmy in the back, it's not for you today. You got to get out. He healed them, and he healed them all. And there are several passages in the Bible where it does mention that, and it says, and he healed them all. So if you're wondering, is it God's will that you be healed? Absolutely. Are there some exceptions? We're learning in this church that there might be. He may be doing a work in you. God may be using that trial. God may be using that test or that hardship to strengthen your faith, to pull you out of something, to pull you to him. Some people are hard-headed. Now, I know I've been one of them. Some people are hard-headed that when everything's going good, they tend to kind of go off on their own. They kind of get full of themselves and figure, you know, hey, I'm doing good. I'm not going to mess it up. God says no. He gave manna every morning and every night. Every morning and every night. Because why? He wanted them to rely on him because he's God Almighty. What do you think? He changed? He wants that for us too. Yeah, your job, he may have blessed you with a job that pays good, but he blessed you with the health to get there. He blessed you with the car to get there. He blessed you with the wife that supports you. He blessed you with the things, the determination and the energy and just everything that you need to do that. You're not by yourself. There's no such thing as a self-made man. We know that Jesus went around healing people, cleansing lepers, bringing sight to the blind, raising the dead, and doing all kinds of miracles. We're told in John 14:12-14, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. So when you're saved, since Jesus has ascended, when you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. That's what? That's that power, right? That's that power. So if you're a sincere Christian, then you have to admit that since I'm saved, I have the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, dwells within me. I don't want to take it to this ugly place. I don't want to offend the Holy Spirit of God. But look, let's don't offend the Holy Spirit by not believing in the power that's within us. It's not you. You know, Shane saw a guy's finger grow back. That wasn't you, right? I mean, I'm no offense. I'm just saying that's not you. You know, we had a dog that was poisoned with antifreeze, and it was a lot, and it was bad. And if you don't catch it within, 4 or 5 hours, it's pretty much, kind of done. Well, we didn't really know what was wrong with him for a couple of days. And he got really, really bad. So we took him to the vet. And, of course, they put him on all the machines and everything. And they said, look, it's antifreeze poison, and it's really bad. And y'all got to make a decision. I said, well, we're gonna wait a little bit. Well, of course, he got worse, if it could be. So the next time we went over there, they were angry with us. And they said, look, we can't even measure how bad he is on our equipment. There's no reason for him to still be alive. So science says that he's pretty much done for. Y'all need to make a decision. And I don't know what came over me, but I just had I knew that I knew. And I said, well, where science ends, God begins. And he was a little Chinese guy, and he got mad, you know. And I said, well, where science ends, God begins. And he goes, oh, and he walked off. So I looked at Lynn, and my wife is Lynn, and I said, we're going to lay hands on this dog. And she said, a dog? And I said, I don't care. If I don't have the faith for a person, I'm believing for this dog, you know. But I had a knowing. I knew. I really did. So we laid hands on the dog. That was a Friday. Well, Saturday morning, he was worse. I mean, he couldn't even lift his head. Well, he was worse Saturday morning. So all of the people at the vet's office are mad at us. And so my wife went in. I didn't go in. I was doing something. But she went in, and she told him the same thing. Look, I'm telling you, God's got it. Well, of course, they were closed Sunday. She went Monday morning before work, and the dog jumped up on her. and was running around doing all kind of stuff. And the girl was like, oh my gosh, he went and used the bathroom. He's eating. He's doing all of this. I mean, it's amazing. So I went that afternoon and I said, well, we're going to bring him home. You know, you're not going to let you keep charging me for somebody that's fixed, you know. Anyway, the doctor said, look, you need to give him this subcutaneous shots of this and some fluids and don't feed him high protein foods and do all this and all that. And he goes, I can't explain it. The little Chinese guy said, I can't. Well, it doesn't matter if he was Chinese. I'm just describing him. But he said, I can't explain it. And I said, yeah, you can. You know, I told you fair and square. And so he started laughing. He goes, well, that's what it's got to be. So we took him home and we were giving him those shots under the skin. And he's a black mouth cur, you know, pretty good. And he wasn't the friendliest thing to begin with. And he was not liking those shots. So I looked at her and I said, if he's healed, he's healed. I'm not going to continue doing this, and I'm not going to feed him low-protein food. He's getting high-protein food. I mean, we're going to do this because it is what it is. That's where we need to get to be with people, too, right? And ourselves. You can heal yourself. You can't heal yourself, but you can claim that healing. I had some stuff going on the other morning, and I put my hand on this old bald head, and I said, thank you, Lord Jesus, that by your stripes I have been healed from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet to the tips of my toes. And I felt better, and I never felt that way again, whatever it was. And I keep saying that whatever it was, because I've got a pretty short memory. I'm 60. All right. It is our faith in the authority to use Jesus' name that enables God to work through us. We must cultivate a relationship with Jesus, and through this, we will have opportunities to grow our faith. There we go. We got circled back to this thing. You will have opportunities to grow your faith. Sometimes it's going to be good things. You know, you can grow your faith by speaking good over people. You can speak good over your life. You can speak good over other people. You can lay hands on other people. You can pray for other people. You can do good things to other people and watch it come back to you. There's so many ways that your faith can grow. But usually it grows the most when you go through some sort of a trial. But listen, I'm 60, so I'm just telling you. And I know there's people that might be older than me, but I've been around for a while. And I know that God has come through every single time without fail. Every time. Not on my timing. Which really aggravates me, you know? Not on my time, but he's come through every single time without fail. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Well, I've never had him fail with anything that I prayed for, even little things. It didn't come right then. Sometimes it did, but sometimes it took so long that it tried my faith. How long did David run? He was going to be king, and he ran for, what, 20 years, you know, before he became king? I mean, come on, I'm thinking I would have been like, I didn't hear something right. 20 years. I think I heard something right. Number three is a question that we have. This is a hard one, and it's hard for me to answer, but I believe I know the answer, and I believe I know the truth, and I'm just going to share that, and you can pray about it, and I'm going to show you in some scriptures. But can someone lose their salvation? There's a denomination out there that says, once saved, always saved. I kind of agree. I really do. I kind of agree. Not 100%, but I do agree because, well, God's going to show you that in here in just a little bit. Hebrews 10:26, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no blood for the sacrifice of sins. That's a scary, scary verse. And I've got another one just as scary about to follow it. It's a really scary verse. Because if you feel guilty in any way whatsoever, which if you're a human being, you do. Because you probably mess up from time to time. And this thing right here, well, was that a willful sin? Did I just push the Holy Spirit off and say, I'm going to do it anyway? Yeah, I'll tell you, I've done it. You know, I'm mad. That guy just cut me off. And the Holy Spirit says, love him and forgive him. No, I want to chase him down. So we do that, right? We push the Holy Spirit off to the side. That's a willful sin. Is it over? Are we done? Are we hellbound? No, it's if you do this as a lifestyle and you don't repent. So let's say that you brush God off for a minute, brush the Holy Spirit off for a minute, and you do what you wanted to do anyway. The Holy Spirit's going to, when you're in your right mind after that moment of losing your mind, the Holy Spirit comes back to you and says, hey, no, you feel compelled to repent. You feel guilty. You feel, why? Because God loves you. You love God. I don't want to offend God. I don't want to offend your Holy Spirit. I don't want to be separated from you for a minute. That wasn't worth distance that it cost me, even for that moment. I want you with me every moment, every second, in every nook and cranny of my life. I would really, really honestly wish God would just take my free will from me and just make me perfect. Well, when we go to heaven, I would. I would trade that because I'm an idiot. So when we go to heaven, it says that you will know and you will be known. So think of the closest person that you know, that you care about, and that you know so well, that person that you've been married to forever that you know that well, when you get to heaven, you're going to know everybody that much. And everybody's going to know you that well. And we're going to love each other without fault. We're going to love each other with the love that God loves us with. And that love that we're supposed to share here on earth. That love that we're supposed to have for one another here. So if someone offends you, God says, just forgive them and pray for them and move on. Why? Because life is short and it doesn't matter. And that person is more important than your anger. And you get to live forever in heaven. And again, if someone did something really terrible, I may want them there for a little while, but not forever. I don't want anybody going to hell, you know, and you shouldn't either. We got to love one another, not just the brethren. It's everybody, even the hard ones. Matthew 2, 22 through 23. This is another one. This is really scary. And this even as a kid, I looked at this and was like, oh my God. Matthew 2, 22 through 23. Many that say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. What? Cast out demons? I don't. Maybe once. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm thinking, I know he was in there. I just don't know if he ever came out. Right? He said, I never knew you. Well, where did that come from? Where did the power to do that come from? You know, it's kind of a mystery, but we need to pray about it. But, I mean, some of us hadn't done these things. Many wondrous works. I mean, I know we've... You know, you've had faith and you've done a few things, but many wondrous work, cast out devils. And then he says, I never knew you. They weren't truly surrendered. They weren't truly God's. They never fully committed and had and developed and cultivated a relationship with Jesus Christ. So how does one get to the place where he has lost his salvation? Well, one way, and you know, in the first place, I just mentioned that, is they never had a true conversion anyway. They never were truly committed. They just wanted the benefit of it and the comfort of it. Because, I mean, there's some peace thinking that I know we're going somewhere when we leave here. Okay, I'm going to heaven. Well, that gives you some peace for a while, right? My brother was like that. I loved my brother, but he was on drugs and alcohol, and he got diagnosed with a cancer that was probably going to kill him. He didn't cooperate with the doctors or anything. And he asked me, you know, hey, I want to get right with the Lord. I said, brother, I'm right here right now. No, not right now. So I'm going to be doing drugs and all that until right before I die. Right before I die, I'm going to give my life to Christ. I said, you don't know if you're going to have that time. Do you understand what you're playing with? And I explained it to him. But, you know, people in that condition, they don't want to accept that. They do these things for escapism anyway, right? I mean, drugs are, most of the time, drugs and alcohol is a way to escape the stress that you just really can't handle, you know, or things that's happened to them, trauma, whatever it may be. So they use that as an escape. Well, I don't know what happened with him. I honestly don't know. He couldn't speak in the end, but he was raised in church too. I don't know. I like to hope. I like to think that maybe. Kind of doubt it, but that's a horrible thought, so I try to have that false hope or that hope anyway, because God can do anything. He will save anybody. The worst of the worst can instantly be saved. The thief on the cross, that last moment. So I'm hoping for that. Another way to lose your salvation would be to drift away so far. And you guys will recognize this, but so far that you deny that 2 + 2 = 4. All right. Everybody here knows 2 + 2 = 4 because you have a relationship with it. You can look and you can see 2 and 2 = 4. You're fully convinced of that. It's over. It's the truth. It's done. It's locked in. I'm pretty sure you can never really ever not believe that. You can tell yourself you don't believe it. You don't want to believe it. You can tell yourself other things. You can listen to the world convince you with other things. You know, like it's flat, stuff like that. But 2 + 2 = 4, that's pretty difficult, man. If you believe it, it becomes a part of you. Well, with your relationship with Jesus, it's the same thing. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I talk to him all the time. He's there for me. He puts up with me. He loves me. He's washed me clean. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven when I die, even though I mess up sometimes, because his Holy Spirit is going to convict me and bring me back around. And I'm going to confess, and I'm going to ask forgiveness, and I'm going to repent by the grace of God, and only by the grace of God. But once you have that relationship with Jesus Christ, I mean, it would be like saying she doesn't exist. Somebody 10 years from now, if for some reason y'all were separated or something, and someone said, you never were with her. She never was a person. Come on, man. That's how hard it is. Can you lose your salvation? I believe you can. I believe there's people that get themselves over to the devil so much that he completely strips their mind from all reality. Yeah, I think you can lose it, but it's pretty difficult. You'd have to be trying pretty hard. Even someone in rebellion still knows there's a God. Jesus died for me. They still know the truth that they found. Now, they still know those things. And they might try to deny them, and they'll get angry when you bring it up. But if you'll watch someone long enough, they usually come back, right? They come back. So, yeah, I think you could lose your salvation, but it's pretty hard. That should comfort some people, because there's a lot of people in the world that wonder, have I done too much? Have I gone too far? What have I done? Well, if you haven't forgotten 2 + 2 = 4, you're probably okay. The fourth question, and I'm thinking it's the last question, so y'all might get out of here early. I don't even know what time it is. But number four is, what should a Christian's life look like? Hey, man, I may have to slow it up. I saw you looking at your watch. Hopeful. I'm going to drag it on, brother. What should a Christian's life look like? Okay. God gave me this. Boudreaux and Thibodeau. Y'all, hang on. This is different. Boudreaux and Thibodeau were standing at a fence watching the cows, and it was about sunset. And Boudreaux looked over at Thibodeau, and he goes, Thibodeau, he said, you know about that Jesus guy? And Thibodeau looked over at him. He said, man, when I was a kid, I heard a little bit, but no, I don't know much. Boudreaux got a sad face and looked at him and said, you're going to hell, right? And it is kind of funny because I present it that way because I'm funny, but it's not really funny, right? It's not. You're going to hell. And it made him sad. It should make you sad. Some of you have a Thibodeau that sits by you at work, or you got a Thibodeau that sits by you at supper table. Maybe you got a Thibodeau that sits by you at family functions. Man, God calls us to love everybody. Don't let your Thibodeau go to hell. You know, you are there. It may be only you. Pastor told a story one time about he was heading to practice. You know, he played the guitar and stuff and led worship and all that. He was headed to practice, and there was this homeless person that he'd seen several times, and he was late. And God told him, he said, you go over and you share the gospel with that person. And he was like, man, that can't be God. I'm late and I got to get to church. I'm not going to, you know, going to a bar or anything. I'm going to church. And so, man, that must just be me wanting to do that. And he went on to practice. Then he found out that that night, that homeless person got killed. And if y'all know Pastor, if I'm about to cry telling it, can y'all imagine what he went through and how life-changing that was for him? Well, look, we've talked about these things, and we're talking about right now what God wants from you. We talked about the benefits of being a Christian, how to get saved, what it's good for you for, what your rights are. There's healing, there's power. There's all these benefits to you to be a Christian. You get everlasting life, for God's sake. You get to live forever in God's presence. But you know, right now in this life, you come boldly to the throne room. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Dust yourself off and run to God. If you're about to sin, here's a little tool, and it's horrible, but it's a little tool, and it helps a lot. If you're about to do a willful sin, picture Jesus. They laid him over a log, and they took that cat of nine tails with the bone and the leather, and they just dug into him and ripped it, and it just ripped his skin all the way down to the bone. And he was fully man, right? He was fully God, but he was still fully man. He had to be fully God for his blood to wash everyone's sin away forever and ever. But he left Godhood. He left all that in heaven and came down as a man, as a baby, and grew and showed us how to live with temptation but not sin. He never offended God. But he lived under a man's power, recognizing that he could draw from God. So can you. So he's laying across this log, and they're just tearing his hide off. He's almost unrecognizable. Squat down and look into his face and then tell him, you know what, I'm going to go do this. I'm pretty sure you probably won't. It makes it very difficult. If you love Jesus at all and you're about to do something that you shouldn't do, that's going to offend Jesus, offend God, and hurt his heart and offend his Holy Spirit, picture yourself, kneel down in front of Jesus, get in his presence at that time, and look in that bloody face and everything that he's going through for you, and know that there's more to come, and say, you know what, I'm going to go do this. I'll be back. It's pretty hard. It helps. It's pretty terrible, but it helps. But it's dangerous, because that for sure is a willful sin, right? You had the presence of mind to stop and think about Jesus loves me, Jesus suffered for me, but it helps you be a better person, helps you be a better Christian. The other thing that makes it hard for us is, like I said before, we feel unqualified to tell others about Jesus. If you have a testimony, which all of us do of some sort, some level or another, if you have a testimony and other people knew that about you, other people knew that, that the way that you were before, and they knew you then, and you profess to be different now, live different, not just for your sake, but for their sake. Live different. Live that life that you claim to own. Live that life surrendered to God Almighty. It's not weakness. Meekness is not weakness. It's power under control. Live that life, because here's what's going to happen. If they truly knew you then, if they knew you and they see you now, they're going to be watching you. They may be mean. They may be angry. They may cut you down. They may pretend to support you. They're watching you. And when you go through hard times, and you will, I mean, you got to grow your faith. God's not going to let you just have it easy and then go to heaven. Life's not that way. He set life in motion, and life is a war. I've said this every time. I'm going to say it again because it's a great epiphany that he gave me. Picture all those young kids. They're 17 years old. That's a kid to me. 17 years old. Most of them, for World War II, most of them had never been off the farm. Most of them had never left their little hometown. And they find themselves in Italy with the wine and the women and the people and the language and the food and the landscape is so different and so beautiful. And it's just, my gosh, God, man, you look what you've created. It's wonderful. And they go around the corner, and several of his buddies just get ripped to shreds. Then he goes around the corner, and they're in France, and it's beautiful. And there's kind of the same scenery. The food is different. The culture is different. The language is different. And it's beautiful again. Then you go around the corner, and man, that's life. You're in a war. You're in a war. You're not in some comfortable position here. You're not from here. You're an alien. He gave us this suit to survive here. You're not from here. God said, I knew you before you were in the womb. I sent you there. I have a plan for you. And if you're just living, if you're just living to live, if you're just making a paycheck and you're taking care of your family, well, good for you. What are you doing for God? We talked about what he did for you. We talked about what's available for you, but we don't open the suitcase and use it for other people. Why does God not take you to heaven as soon as you're saved? For other people. Don't go by yourself. One last story. Y'all know the big tower that just got imploded. Well, after Rita, my company had the contract, and I ran that job to go and replace pretty much everything on the inside of it. You know, I still have a master key to it, everything but the vault. My wife and I like to ride mountain bikes. We still do. And at the time, we had some Walmart bikes. This is many years ago. We had these little Walmart bikes. Not little, but Walmart bikes, you know, $100, whatever it was. And I was a lot bigger. And I mean, I tore mine up. I mean, the wheels were doing this. The gears were stripping, trying to go up hills and stuff. I was just tearing it up. And I would jump stuff. I'm not right, y'all. I'm telling you right now. And I tore that thing up. I told her, I want a new bike. I found this, and it's a Trek. I want to go get this. Kind of studied. And I said, I want to go get this. She said, well, go ahead. But I mean, I'm going to keep mine. I'm like, no. If I get a new one, you got to get a new one. And she's like, no, mine's fine. I don't tear it up like you do. I don't do like you do. Go get you one. It's fine. And I'm like, no. Well, one day, I had both bikes in the back of my truck. I had my bike was just laying down. I was just lazy that morning, and we were going to go to Sam Houston Park and ride. And I laid my bike down, just laid hers over on top of it. Well, I'm on the 12th or 15th floor. I don't know what it is. And we got a couple guys. We're having break, and we're standing around talking about the stuff. And we're looking out of the window, and one of them says, look at that guy looking at your truck. And I'm looking at him, and he grabbed her bike and rode off on it. And these guys are mad. They're like, let's go get him. And I'm like, hold on. Hang on a minute, guys. By the time we get down there, he's gone. It's not worth it. No, we'll get in the car. We'll go. He's going that way. We'll find him. And I'm like, nah, just leave it alone. So I got a new bike. She got a new bike. But what is that? What was that? Yeah. I want for someone that I love, I want them to have what I have. I want them to know what I know. The reason that I get up here and embarrass myself like this when Pastor asked me to is because I love y'all, and I want you to have what I have, and I want you to know what I know. If God gives me some revelation that I feel like is important and I get an opportunity to share it, I don't want to, but I'm going to say yeah. I mean, I was quiet for a while on the phone when he said, hey, I want you to take over Wednesday, and I was real quiet for a little while. You still there? I said, yeah. You know, well, can you do that? I said, yeah, ain't nothing stopping me. But that's the heart that we should have for not only your mate, not only your family, not just your friends, but everybody. I want you to have what I have. I want you to know what I know. I want you to have my Jesus. I want you to live forever in heaven, forever and ever. I want you to have power working in your life where you can go and let this come out of your mouth and it blesses you and blesses them. I want you to lay hands on people and have them be healed. I want that. Every time. When people say, you know, what superpower do you want? And they give you the choices about flying or super strength and all that stuff. I want the burden. And it was, if you look at Jesus's life, it was a burden. Terrible burden. But he loved, right? That man didn't rest. But I want that. That's my superpower. I want to be able to see a guy with cerebral palsy walking down the side of the road. And this guy jogs. He's kind of down our road. We live in the country. And he jogs like nonstop for hours, you know. And you can tell his motor skills are not there, you know. And he's doing it to keep his motor units operating and functioning at least in some kind of a capacity. So he's running on purpose. He's got a purpose. But man, I would like for my purpose, I'd like to be able to operate. I'd like the faith because what? We can. You can operate in all nine gifts of the Spirit. So can I. So can any Christian. It's available. The power is in you. You're stopping you. That's it. But I want to get my faith to where I can go lay hands on anybody and they instantly recover, just like Jesus did. You know? I don't remember one story. Y'all can remind me, but I don't remember one story where Jesus laid hands on somebody or told them that they were healed, and it took a few weeks. He's walking to this man's house, and the man said, no, I'm not worthy of you coming to my roof. Just speak the word, and she'll be healed. And he spoke the word, and she was healed at that moment. Or his, I may be getting it wrong, it might not have been a she. I think it was his servant, actually. You're right. I mean, the point is, do you love people or not? If you love people, it takes you off of you. If you love people, it takes your weakness away from you. And it gives you that power. If you love other people, if you care about other people, if you want other people to have what you have and know what you know and have your Jesus, you're a Christian. If you don't want that, if that's not in your heart, then I don't know, you might want to read some of them scary verses. I mean, really, right? If you don't, he said, how will you know them? You'll know them by their fruit. What's fruit? It's other people. Fruit is other people. You know, sure, I mean, you can tell a Christian sometimes because you know God's with them and things kind of fall into place a lot of times. And the peace that they have, you know, when trouble does come, that peace that they have, and they go, no, man, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Again, we should have the faith and we should have that strength to say, what's the worst? You're going to cut my head off? Okay. You know, right now, or are we waiting a little while? What are we doing? Because I'm going to see my Jesus. I'm going to go sit at his feet. And that's where I would be, you know, just sitting at his feet till he got tired of me, like an old dog. You know, hey, man, I'm trying to go. My legs are asleep. I'm trying to go somewhere. No, Jesus, I need you. I need you. I'm going to be 1,000 years right here. You know, do that now. Do that now. Run to Jesus. If you're about to do something, if you have this thought, if it's a violent thought or a lustful thought or just a sinful thought, anything that is contrary to God's desires for you or God's will for your life, clean it out of there. Run to Jesus' feet and say, what would you have me do in this situation? And if it's something that is contrary to your desire, brother, do it anyway. Why? Life is short. When you get done here, your rewards are supposed to be in heaven. What are you doing? You stacking it all up here for what? Somebody else? The rich man, he said, I'm going to tear my barns down, build some bigger ones. God said, you fool. Your soul is going to be required of you tonight. Somebody else is going to have all that. All that you acquired is going to go to somebody else. It's not going with you. But why? Because you have no need of that in heaven. The kind of rewards and the kind of treasure and the things that we have in heaven are things that we don't even pay attention to down here. Anyway, I want to close. I want to thank y'all for trusting me with bringing that word to you. And I just pray that you open not just your heart but your spirit and let some of that or all of it that pertains to you or all of it that God says and pricked your heart about. And I want the peace that comes with knowing some of this too. You know, it's hard to get unsaved. It's hard. I believe it's possible, but I think it's very hard. So I want to pray us out. Father, thank you for the opportunity to speak to your family. Thank you for speaking through me and blessing me with this message and having me put it together. I thank you for not only the opportunity, but the blessing that comes with it. And I just pray that you watch over all of us in our life, Father, and continually prick our hearts for other people. Always give us that opportunity to speak this into other people. And give us that love for other people, Father, where we want them to have what we have and to know what we have. And let us really recognize those opportunities to bring them to you. We don't want to miss those. That's a horrible thing. We thank you and we praise you. We give you glory forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.